Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning as we are gathered together to fellowship and around the word of God today. We know the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Draw us close, even closer to you this morning through thy word. Thy word, O Lord, is truth. You said, I've sanctified them by thy word, and thy word is truth. Sanctify, O Lord, every one of us this morning by your word in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Good morning. Good afternoon. I want to get into this lesson right away. Today's topic, what you do next is all that matters to God. I want you to pay attention because the Lord spoke this to me just yesterday or so. You know, so let's pay attention. You know, tell us what this is all about and share some scriptures and some stories from the Bible for us, with us this morning. Praise the Lord. If you miss any part of this, you're going to have to listen to it again because there's something that the Lord is saying and calling. That is so important for us, even at this time. The Lord did tell us that this is going to be the month of rest and the beginning of months. But at such a time as this, there's something else that He's trying to tell us that we need to understand. So, from the topic of the room today, what you do next is all that really matters to God. What does that mean? I'm going to consider that from the scriptures. You know, the first thing I'm going to say to us this morning is that the Lord is dealing with us and wants to deal with us in the now. That's right. Not so much in the past. The past is the past. But now is now. And so, you know, every one of us has a story, has some past. There are some people that are here, maybe here today, or even might listen to this later on, that are struggling or dealing with something now, you know, that the enemy is using to block your getting closer to God. But God, He has a word for you today. Let's look at some stories in the Bible, how people have responded to situations. Some of these stories that I will cover will be how, what they did, you know, in the face of either temptation, either disobedience, or even sometimes in the positive side, when God gives a word, a positive word, how do people respond? Look at many stories in the Bible. First category I want to talk about is, you know, people that sinned or sinned in the Bible through disobedience. How did they respond? You know, when the Lord caught up with them. And there are two things that you can do, you know, when you face a situation where you realize that you have either sinned or fallen short of the glory of God. No man should ever fall short of the grace of God. The grace of God is always there to bring us back. But you can either run away from God or you can run to God. Now, right from the beginning, we see a story in Genesis of Adam and Eve. Genesis chapter 3, verses 6 through 13. You know this, everybody knows this story. When the Lord confronted them, the Bible says that, and the Lord came, you know, looking for them. Now, one thing I want to say from this story is, you know, Take note of this. God doesn't need to be looking for anybody. He knows exactly where you are. You know, it was their sin nature that came in immediately after their disobedience that made them to be almost invisible to God. And he had to be looking for them. Where are you? He said, Adam, where art thou? I was looking, you know. And sin is the thing up till today that still keeps us away from the presence of God like that. You know, to be known of God presently, we must be in the light. Yeah, if you want to hide from God, then you walk in darkness. You know, and then, you know, it's like, you know, where are you, Adam? So, you know, the Lord didn't need to look for them before, but now, because all of a sudden, the light is gone. See, the light, and they are in the light, that draws the presence of God right there, right to you. But, you know, when you are in darkness, and we covered these, you know, last week sometime, that look, he that hates his brother is in darkness even until now. You know, when we are in darkness, according to 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, I mean verse 5 says, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So we can't really be a part of God if we are in darkness. And so Adam, when they were in this darkness state, the Lord couldn't find them. And God is looking for them. Where are you? You know, and he said, well, I was afraid. What made you afraid? I mean, this was a man that had the very essence of God. Was made in the likeness of God. God deposited into him the Spirit of God. I had a complete package from God. What made you afraid? See, sin will do that to you. You know, disobedience. The moment, you know, they disobeyed God, I would say their eyes were opened. You know, and then they knew they were naked. Well, they really were not naked until that point. But the glory of God covered them. Hallelujah. That's why Romans 3:23 says, falling short of that glory. See, they were inside the glory like a bubble that surrounded them, which is what kept all the animals and the plants and everything in order. And there was a glory around Adam, kept everything in order. But when he lost that, you know, everything started going to rebellion. Plants started to get wild. Animals started to get wild because they couldn't look to Adam anymore. You know, they looked to him before and they were enlightened. But now they have no instruction, you know, in the way of righteousness. So they're all just going to do crazy stuff. Even the plants begin to get wild, you know. Animals begin to get wild. God never created any wild stuff, you know. When he did it, he said everything looked good. But here is what they did. They went and hid themselves from the Lord. And when the Lord would ask him, what have you done? Well, the one person started to, you know, blame the other and so forth. Well, the man said, well, you know, the woman you gave me, I put the game, blame on God. Play the blame, you know, the blame game. Put a blame on someone else. And not own up to, I mean, not take responsibility. Adam didn't take responsibility. Because he knew the word of the Lord. He should have put his foot down and said no. He didn't. Instead, he tried to blame God. The woman you gave me did this to me. And the woman said, well, the serpent did this to me. You know, somebody blamed someone else. Now, all they needed to have done in that moment, which they never did. You know, there's no record that they fell down on their faces and said, Lord, we have sinned. They know what sin means because the moment you did it, the Bible says you will know what sin is. And so they knew. You have knowledge of good and evil. Yeah, so they knew. But rather than repent, they find one excuse or the other. All that God was looking for would have been their repentance. And there was a young man that came along several generations later. His name was Enoch. Why can't we go back in there? You heard me say this story. Well, you know, the gate is closed. What mean these cherubims here with the, what are these things anyway? That's, the flaming sword. Well, they are there to keep the way of the tree of life so we don't go back in there. You mean we can't go back in there? And Adam would tell the stories of all the things they used to do. You had all that, you lost all that, you gave that up. Did you even ask God for forgiveness? Son, it is too late because he told us that the day we do it, we should die. But you're not dead yet. Well, but we're willing to die. So, well, you know, I mean, we can ask God for forgiveness. No, it's too late. You know, so they never really did. That's Adam talking, not God. Adam talking to Enoch. And Enoch would ask those questions. Just think of it. Imagine it in your head. Because this Enoch man, he wanted answers. You know, and started to walk with God. And God showed me these things some years ago. And then, you know, but Adam, he never. And all that he needed to do should have been to go back to God. He didn't do it. You know, they ran away from God instead of going back to God. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you may be in a state, in a place right now that's not well pleasing to God. It's what you do next that really matters to God. You can either walk away from God or you can run to the Lord. And there are many stories in this Bible, you know. And God was very harsh with them at the time because, you know, they didn't really turn to the Lord. They should have. And they messed things up for all the generations of mankind to come back. And so the Lord drove them out. You know. And, well, here comes another man called Moses. There's another story here. I mean, you know the message of God to Abraham that his seed will go down to, in Genesis 15, we covered this before. I mean, they'll be tormented 400 years in some place that they don't know anything about. And then afterwards, God said, I'll bring you out with a mighty hand. I'll punish that nation. We saw that happened, the children of Israel. And at one time, Moses was a man that liked to fight for social injustice. I mean, he saw how that, you know, the Jews were being brutalized by their taskmasters. There was something in him that didn't quite sit right. Said, you don't do that. You know, and he stood up to fight for one of them, turned out that he ended up killing that guy and ran away. When it was known the next day, and somebody said, two of the Jews were fighting, you know, together now. I said, hey, you know, you are brethren, you shouldn't do that. And the other one said, who made you a judge over us? Are you going to kill me like you killed that Egyptian yesterday? So now the man knows that this matter is known, so he ran away. I ran away for many years. God caught up to him, you know, and said, hey, you know, the place where he went, the land of Midian and so forth, Jethro the priest and all of that, you know, there was a place called Mount Horeb in there. And it was like, you know, what's this place? Because they're seeing something. You know, I want to go up here. Well, you go. And so he went there. One day he's roaming around there. And the Lord would appear to him. And when the Lord appeared to him, Exodus chapter 3, you can read the exchange. And first 10 verses, the Lord appeared to him, told him that, you know, I've heard, you know, I've seen all the afflictions of the children of Israel. And I've heard their cry. And I'm now set, ready to go down and deliver them. Come now, therefore, and let me send you unto him. Now, you notice in this story, when God is trying to call Moses and put him in this, on this errand, God makes no mention of the fact that the man is a murderer that ran away, killed somebody. You know, God makes no mention of that at all. I mean, it's just like, you know, God is not even talking about it. I'm sure the man has had time to be remorseful, ran away. I mean, there was an, you know, warrant for his arrest everywhere. And all that time, he was probably trying to make amends and all. You know, God wasn't even talking about that. You know, what are you going to do right now with what God is telling you? Not what the devil is telling you that you did before. God didn't even bring that subject up. But his response was less than what God desired. You know, he gave all kinds of excuses, which we have talked about. But at the end of the day, well, the Lord persuaded him to go back and bring the children of Israel out like God had ordained. But his initial response was, well, I can't do that. I can't speak. I can't do that. You know, who says you can't speak? You've been speaking for many, many years. You know, 40 years you were in Egypt, learned all the, you know, the sciences, the arts and so forth of Egypt, training to be a prince. 40 years away in the wilderness. I mean, you spoke and dealt with all the people there. Now you can't speak. So, but God was looking for some response from him. God didn't quite get it. Actually, God wasn't happy with him. But nevertheless, that the purpose of God might be fulfilled, the Lord sent him anyway. There are many other stories of how people dealt with situations. You know, some are good, some are bad. I'm just going to mingle them in here as we go along. There's a story of David and how he dealt with the situation that he faced. He used, when he was before Saul, the king, how that they tried to prepare him for the battle against Goliath. And you know the story. For reference, you can read 1 Samuel 17, verses 33 to 37. And they said, well, you can't do that. I said, well, why not? There was a time that the devil took something away from me. A lion took something. The bear took something and went after him. Now, what was David's response in the situation where he lost something? Even as a young man, his response then was that, I'm going to get back what is mine. That was his response. And the Lord was with him because he had a proper response to the situation at hand. When the enemy takes something from you, what is your response? You can sit there bemoaning yourself, crying over spilt milk, as they say, or you can do something about it. See, what are you going to do about it? What is your response? David's response was, well, you're not going to take what's mine. You took it, but I'm getting it back. And he engaged with the lion. He engaged with the bear. You know the story. He come out on top, rescued that which was taken from him. What is your response when you face a situation? What is it that you've lost? What is it that the enemy came and took from you? You know, David didn't actually lose anything. The enemy got in there and took it, you know, and he said, no, not on my watch. I'm going to get back what you took from me. Now, what's your response? Now, let's look at a few more stories. There's another story here of David. I love his stories. I'm sure you know that by now. In Ziklag, 1 Samuel chapter 30, first six verses. Again, you know, he lost something. Now, he's grown up quite a bit now, you know, and now he lost everything, his wife, his children, That time it was just the sheep that he lost. Now he's got wife and children and everything. And they lost everything. Amalekites came in there, burnt down the place, took all their wives and children captive and everything. What was David's response? Well, even the people thought of stoning him because they followed David to a war that did not concern them. You know, and so he said, look, we're following you to fight alongside the Philistines. This was none of our business. And look at what happened to us. And they wanted to kill him. We're told that David, in 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, encouraged himself in the Lord. Now, what is your response, you know, in the face of loss? David lost everything. His response was, encourage his soul. So, my soul, he said in Psalm 42 and verse 5, why art thou disquieted within me? You know, why art thou cast down? Hope thou in God, he spoke to himself. I shall yet rejoice in him. It's the light of my countenance, the countenance of my brightening up again. And he went to the Lord and said, Lord, what shall I do? Shall I pursue? And shall I recover? And the Lord said, you recover. Well, he could have done anything, but he chose to go to the Lord. You know, what is your response? What is the next thing that you are going to do when you are faced with situation? That's what God's looking for. What's the next thing you're going to do? Not what you did before that got you there. You know, but what are you going to do now? Let's read a few more stories that will actually bear this out. Again, there's a story of David in 2 Samuel chapter 12. Now, in this case, actually, this is one story, one defining moment in David's life, the story that most people remember about David. And they remember some things like David's fight against Goliath. If you tell anybody, ask anybody, Sunday school kids, to tell you two stories, they probably remember that one first. Then they will also remember that, you know, he did a horrible thing. You know, he got drawn away into adultery and even schemed to murder the woman's husband. Story of Uriah, the man, and Bathsheba, his wife. And many of you know that story. Now, when the Lord caught up with him, and Nathan the prophet, the seer, came to him and told him the story of a man that had a lot of sheep and everything. And he wouldn't take from his own, but took, you know, from his neighbor that had only one, because he wanted to present some food to a guest. And David was rough and said, who is this man that did this wicked thing? The man is guilty of death, deserving of death. I mean, you have all this stuff. Why would you take the only thing that this man had? And Nathan said, well, you are that wicked man. For as much as you have taken this man's wife and you're plotted to kill him, you know, you could have asked God, he could have given you more if that's what you wanted. You have ability to get anything you want. And this only thing that this man had, you took. Now, what was David's response? You know, this was his darkest hour in the history of David. Anybody thinking of any bad thing that David did? That's the one they remember till today. But what was his response? You can read that story in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 9 through 16. His story was, I have sinned. You know, it's amazing how people don't realize that they are drawn away into sin when they are in sin. They just don't realize it. I mean, why in the world did you not know that this was a sin when you were plotting it? And first of all, he went up on the balcony and saw it, you know. I mean, Bible says that at the time that kings went to war, he should have been, if he was out in that battlefield like he used to be, you know, his eyes would not have been drawn to a naked woman. He would have been in battle. He was a man of battle. That's what he should have been doing, you know. Idle hands, people say, you know, it will be a theater, it will be a place for the devil. you know. So when he was idle, at the time he should have gone to war. He went up on the balcony. Okay, so fine. Let's assume that he went on the balcony not to necessarily think of looking at someone. He just went on the balcony. Okay, that's good. But the moment you saw the woman, should have turned your eyes away. He didn't do that. You know, and then he inquired about that woman, you know, as if that was not enough. The moment he heard that it was somebody else's wife, that was a no-go area. Just leave it alone. Now, if it had been a maiden, back in those days, they were allowed, especially king, you can have anybody you want, as long as it wasn't someone else's wife. Now, you know, if you say, hey, I want that maiden, and you get from her father, you know, get her to yourself, that would have been okay. But no, wasn't okay in this case. It was somebody else's wife. That was a no-go area. But he did. He began to scheme how to get her. Got her, laid with her. Turned out the woman got pregnant. Now he's trying to hide. I mean, it was just a series of one thing leading to another. Horrible things. Trying to hide the sin that he did. And so on and so forth. You know the rest of the story. The husband and the man, meantime, was in the battle. Called him home. Tried to send him to his wife. So maybe the man would sleep with the woman. And then they would think that the child was his. You know, all kinds of imagination in his head. Yeah, that's what sin does. It will lead, it will breed more sin, and more sin. And finally, when the man wouldn't do it, plotted how to get the man killed. I mean, can you just imagine all of these things in his heart? I mean, grave wickedness. You'd never know that a man like David could ever do something like that. But that's what sin does. You're drawn away into lust and sin and all kinds of things come in there. Anyway, and the prophet caught up with him. He broke down and repented. And he went softly and laid. The Lord told him, well, you did the thing in secret, but there's going to be evil in your house from now on. But this thing you did is great. Great evil. What you've done in secret, even your sons will do openly. Come into your own wives and so on. You know, all these things happened in his family anyway, later on. And he cried before the Lord. The Lord said, no, that child will die. Because that child is carries stigma. It's evil in Israel. This is never done. And that child must die. I don't want to see that. I got to remove that from the land. So, but he humbled himself and prayed and asked for the Lord's forgiveness. There were other times in the life of, you know, David. That was the biggest one, that he did something wrong. Other times, like, you know, when he numbered Israel, he knew that God had said that, you know, they will be like the sands of the sea, you know, and even his chief of army staff tried to tell him, look, don't do this thing. And, you know, but he did. And that was a great, great evil. You know, you can read in 1 Chronicles 21. It's also in the book of Kings. Yeah, you know, he numbered the people. It was a great evil. And the Lord came against him and said, you've done this evil. I'm going to punish you for it. But the Lord decided to punish the people. And David had to put himself there and say, look, Lord, let me fall into the hands of the Lord. You know, what will you have? Punishment for these, giving choices. David chose always to fall into the hands of the Lord. One thing David knew. Yeah, he wasn't perfect. He did a lot of evil things. But in his heart, he always knew where to go. You know, he even knew that, you know, I better take punishment from the Lord. That's a whole lot better than being given over to the will of man. But the Lord will eventually have mercy. The Lord told him, choose three things. Choose one of three things that I will do to you. I'm going to give you 3 years famine or 3 months be destroyed before your enemies, or, you know, that the sword of thy enemies will overtake you, or else 3 days of the sword of the Lord, even the pestilence and so on. You can read this story in 1 Chronicles chapter 21, you know, from verse 11, when God came up, you know, to him, the seer, and told him these things. And David said, look, well, you know, all these punishments are great, but I know that the hand of the Lord will be even greater evil against me, but I choose the hand of the Lord because the Lord will have mercy. See, he always knew, you know, where to go. Never run away from God. Now, you did a lot of evil, you come back, you know, he's pulled himself into the hand of the Lord. Say, look, you know, the Lord will have mercy. So, well, the Lord was very furious, you know, and he began to destroy. And this was a great evil that David brought upon the people, you know. And but as the angel of the Lord went destroying the people, David began to pray. He fell in sackcloth, you know, and told all the people and the elders of Israel, fall upon your faces in sackcloth and so forth. He began to pray. He said, I have sinned and I've done evil. But look, these are your sheep. They've done nothing. You know, why don't you let this evil be on my head and let your people go? Because he knew where to go. And so, it should not be defined by the evil or the sin in the past. But what is your response? What's the next thing you're going to do right now? You know, when the Holy Spirit comes face to face, confronts you of that thing, what you going to do? You know, there are some believers, you know, maybe even unbelievers, you know, Holy Spirit might be drawing them, and they may have, you know, something that something people choose to run away from God instead of run to God. So this today's lesson is, what are you going to do, you know, when you're faced with situations? But let's move on to some other stories in the Bible. I have several. I want to go through them quickly. That's something else I want to bring out. There's the story of Ahab. You might know his story. Wicked king. In 1 Kings chapter 21, you can read the story from verses 17 through 29. Elijah caught up with Ahab again. You know, and said, look, the man said, have you found me? He said, yeah, I found you. He said, you are the one troubling Israel. Elijah said, no, you are the one that troubled Israel, in that you are forsaking the law of the Lord and sought after Baal and all these things. And then he began to pronounce evil and judgment against the man, you know, and so on. He said, look, you've done all these things. You've risen up. You killed, you know, I mean, his wife. He wanted a vineyard. You know the story. You know, the man Naboth and so on. And he wanted his vineyards because it was next to the king's court. And he said, look, I'll give you fair money for it. And the man said, no, this thing has been in my family for a long time. I don't want to sell it. I don't care what price you give me. And he went, it was very sorrowful, sent messages to the man several times, and the man declined. And he was very sorrowful. And Ahab was, and his wife found him sorrowful in the house. Said, well, why are you so sad? So, well, you know, I've been trying to get this vineyard from this man. I often offered him money, twice or three times, anything he wants, I'll give it to him just to get it so I can extend the courthouse here, you know. And the woman said, oh, that's what's making you sad? Are you the king of Israel or are you not the king of Israel? You are sad because you asked this man to give you his vineyard and he won't give it to you, and you're even willing to pay him? I'll take care of this, you know. And the man is wondering, what in the world are you going to do? Don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. And this woman was even more wicked. She plotted to have this man killed, brought, you know, lying witnesses against him that they blasphemed the king, blasphemed God, this and this and that, just so that they would stone and kill the man. And after the man was killed, he presented the vineyard. He said, look, the man is dead now. Rise up and take the vineyard. And he could have said, what in the world have you done? He didn't say that. Well, he took the vineyard. And so the word of the Lord came to Elijah. He said, go down and meet this man. He has done great evil. Elijah met him and said, have you you have slain and you have taken possession. Now you think, you know, you are the man because you can now kill anybody you want and take their stuff. Say, well, here's what the Lord is going to do to you. And he began to bring, you know, this judgment against the man. You know, of all that the Lord, he said, look, in the very place where the dogs licked the blood of Naboth, which you killed, it was his wife, really, but, you know, well, did it in your name. In the same place, dogs licked thy blood, even dying. And begin to tell him all these things. I'll bring evil upon thee. Take away thy posterity. Cut off from Ahab him that pisseth against the world. That means every man, you know. And everyone has shut up. He'll make your house like the house of Jeroboam, you know, and so forth. And all, and he began to bring judgment. You provoke me to great anger, saith the Lord. You know, and there's a dog shall eat, you know, Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. He that died of Ahab, you know, began to tell him all these things. You know, and the scripture says in 1 Kings 21 and 25 that there was none like Ahab, which did sell himself to walk wickedness in the sight of the Lord, which Jezebel, his wife, stirred up. There was nobody like him. He did very abominably in following idols, according to all the things that he did, you know, like the Amorites and so on. You know, and then it came to pass. This wicked Ahab, when he heard all the pronunciation of judgment that was coming from the Lord against him, what did he do? It came to pass that even this Ahab, when he heard these words of judgment from the mouth of Elijah that was coming to him from the Lord, that he rent his clothes. See? Now, what was his response to the pronunciation of judgment? It was the wicked king like none other. But what was his response? He put sackcloth on his flesh. He fasted and lay in sackcloth and went softly, you know, and he was sorrowful in his heart. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah, the Tishbite, by saying, seest now how this Ahab humbled himself before me. So this man, he humbled himself before the Lord when he heard the word of judgment. And then the Lord said, well, this evil is coming, no doubt, because the land is polluted and I must cleanse the land. You know, however, you know, I'm going to kick the can down the road a little bit. You know, I will not bring the evil in his time. I'm going to kick it down the road a little bit because he humbled himself before me. Now, what is the next thing that you're going to do? Now, you may be in a situation where you thought you would disobey the Lord. Well, maybe you actually did disobey the Lord. Maybe you even sin. Bible says, well, if any man sin, we have, you know, advocate with the Father. Maybe whatever it is. But what is your response? And the Holy Spirit catches up to you. You can run away from God, or you can run to God. You can repent and rent your heart before the Lord and walk softly before the Lord and see how this great wicked king, when he turned his heart for a moment before the Lord, you know, even God looked at him and said, wow, what a thing, praise the Lord. So I'm going to mix this up a little bit and see people's responses to different things here and there. Just going to mix it through as we go through the scriptures. You've seen how some people responded when judgment came and they ran to God. Some people ran away when they sinned. Adam and Eve ran away. You know, David, he ran to the Lord. Ahab, he asked, you know, for God's mercy. He walked softly, he fasted, he prayed. God said he humbled himself, you know. We don't know exactly his prayer, but God saw it as humbling himself. And that's a story of a woman on a different note now. This story is in 2 Kings chapter 4. You can read it in verses 18 to 26. Now remember, this story is, what is the next thing you're going to do when you're faced with something? What you do next is what really matters to God. Now, this woman was faced with the death of her son. It's what she was faced with. The Shunammite woman, you know, whom Elisha had prophesied to her that she would have a child. And the woman said, well, don't deceive me, Lord, because I've tried. People have told me these things and so forth, but it didn't work. I said, don't worry about it. You'll have a child. It's next year. And she did have the child. And one day fell on a sudden day that this young child said, my head. And he carried, father said, well, carry him to his mother in the house. And I sat on the mother's knees, and the mother was trying to, and he just died. The mother's knees, gave up the ghost, became lifeless. She tried everything to revive him, couldn't. And she got up and laid, went and said, well, I'm just going to go put this child on the bed of the man of God. The man of God was not in the house, but she went and put the child on his bed. And what was her response? You know the story. This is the story where I say, it is well with my soul. It is well, it is well, it is well. It came from this woman's story. And her response in the face of death, the death even of her son, her only son at the time, was, it is well. She never said, she never cried, or even she hid the thing from her husband. He said, saddle me an ass and so forth. Run me to the chariot, run me to the man of God. Say, what? It's not Sabbath day. It's not this. What are you looking for? Don't worry. It is well. And even when the man of God saw her Pharaoh coming, sent his servant down to go and meet, said, that looks like the woman coming. I recognize that this chariot or whatever horses that she's riding. So it is well. Is it well with your husband? Is it well with your child? Is it well with everything? She said, it is well. that was her response. But she knew what she was in her heart. She went and got a hold of the man of God. And the servant came to thrust her away. He said, leave her alone. Something is bothering her. And the Lord has hid it from me. See, that's another lesson in this story. God doesn't have to tell everybody everything, not even prophets. The Lord does show prophets things. But he may not show you everything. He didn't show Elisha these things. He said, Lord, something's happening, troubling this woman. The Lord has hid it from me. Anyway. She said, did I not tell you not to deceive me and promise me a son? And immediately, Elisha knows that something must happen to this woman's son. And on the story went. But the element on this story that we want to bring out is, what was this woman's response in the case of this absolute tragedy of losing her son, dying on her own very knees? What was her response? God forbid that any of us should face tragedy. What was her response? This woman's response was, it is well. She never said anything else. Ask her any question, it is well. Ask her any question, it is well. Until she got a hold of the man of God. And of course, Hebrews chapter 11 said, women have their dead raised back to life. Glory to God. This woman, she got that dead son raised back to life. But her response in the face of that, was, it is well. And some of these stories that we're sharing today is, they are good stories. In the face of evil, that people responded well. There's some not so good stories. They did not respond well. Either way, you can look at it. But what's your response? There are more stories I want to tell us here. There's a story of Jehoshaphat in, Second Chronicles, 20, when the Lord gave him a promise, in the face of a great, great, great challenge, three nations that came up against them were stronger than he. What was his response? You can read the story in 2 Chronicles 20, verses 15 through about 22. What was his response after he heard the word of encouragement? What was his response? It all depends on how you respond to different things. But what was your response? What would your response be? What's your response now when the Lord told you that it will be well with you this month? It shall be a month of months unto you, and it shall be the beginning of months, and it shall be the month of rest. Now, what's your response? Are you going to worship? Or are you going to be looking for the next evil thing that's going to happen? Just so you can say, well, the Lord said so, but it didn't happen. I mean, some people actually look for evil, you know, rather believing the word of the Lord. They'll be setting up themselves for failure and for evil and for all kinds of things. Why would you even do that? What Jehoshaphat did was to worship. He commanded all of Israel to worship the Lord for the promise giving. Now, he hadn't seen the victory yet, but the Lord promised him and he worshiped. Now, has the Lord said something to us in this month of July? What's your response going to be? Is your response going to be positive? No matter what the devil throws at you, remember the word of the Lord and speak positively. Say, this is what God promised. Therefore, I will worship. Hallelujah. And he even said, look, I need to find some skilled singers and praisers, some of the sons of Asaph, according to the commandment of David the king. Bring them before me here. Those that are skilled in the tambourine and in the, you know, timbre and all these things. And they brought them and said, look, you guys, praise the beauty of holiness. Go out in front of the army. Yeah, that was his response. He had a tremendous positive response to the promise of God, the promise of victory, even though they were surrounded with imminent defeat. You know, in his heart, he sanctified that word of promise and began to worship and began to praise the Lord. Now, that was his response. Now, what's your response going to be to this thing that the Lord has promised us this month? What's your response going to be? There are more stories of, you know, people, how they respond to various things. Let's look at one man, how he responded to, you know, different things. Many things in his life of Hezekiah, how he responded. You know, one time it was Sennacherib that came to chide him and to say, look, you better give up and surrender to us now and make a league with us, and it shall be well with you. Otherwise, we will make this place like a dunghill. Just like we did to all those nations, and cast your gods in the fire and all these things. You know, and you know the story. What was Hezekiah's response? Well, a powerful, powerful response. You can read the stories of Hezekiah. Hezekiah, you know, 37 to 38. You can read that story there. It's another story I'll tell you in a minute. But this one here, you know, he turned to the Lord. In fact, the letters of threatening and so forth, an ultimatum that were given to him, he carried it to the Lord and spread it before the Lord and said, Lord, you are the God, the very God that sitteth between the cherubims. Of a truth, they have cast all those gods and their nations and everything into the, cast them into the fire, because they were no gods. But thou art the very God that made heaven and earth. Now therefore, O Lord, save us from this man's hand, that all the nations of the world may know that you are the very God. Now, when you pray like that, you heard me say before, when you put God's name at, you know, his reputation at stake like that, not exactly save us from his hand that we, our land be not destroyed. Save us from his hand that our wives be not become widows. Save us from his hand that our children be not, I mean, not become fatherless. He could have prayed that, those prayers like that, but that's not what he prayed. He prayed, our Lord, save us from his hand so that the people may know that we serve a living God. You know, and you do it like that. Well, the next thing God did, sent an angel down there, 185,000 people were slain, soldiers slain in one night. His response, you know, when he was threatened, his response was he cried out to the Lord, and he knew the right buttons to push, if you want to call it that. He knew the kind of prayer to pray to the Lord that was going to cause the hand of God to move mightily. He challenged the name of God. He challenged his reputation. So, well, all these people know, let them know that you are the very God. Hallelujah. And this is, you know, this is what, you know, how he prayed and how he did and all of that. And of course, the Lord responded mightily. Now, what would your response be? You know. And then in chapter 38 of Isaiah, it's another story. Hezekiah was sick. You know, I delivered him from that other thing, but this time he was sick. physical sickness came upon him, and he was sick unto death. I mean, he was like, was almost dying. And the Lord sent the prophet Isaiah to go to him and said, look, this sickness is unto death. You are going to die. You will not recover. Your best bet is for you to set your house in order. I mean, Isaiah even put, thus saith the Lord, on it. He said, thus saith the Lord, set your house in order, for thou shalt surely die and not live. Now, well, that's a strong sentence of death that he received. Some people receive that today. You know, there are negative things that come against you, enchantments and divinations, or even a writing of medical science and report that says, well, you've got this incurable disease. You are going to die. You cannot live. You know? And it's like our brother is in hospital. One negative doctor will come out there and say some negative thing like that. That, you know, your husband is dying. He's not going to live. You know, or, you know, this man is not going to live. He is dying. You know? Well, yeah. The devil can say that. But what is your response? You know, what was Hezekiah's response? You know, well, you know, the Lord allowed this story there. What was his response? It was of a truth that the Lord had showed that he was going to die. And if he had not responded the way that he responded, he would have died. Because it was a thing that was going to happen that the Lord saw and showed to Isaiah. And Isaiah went and told him. But this man, he turned around, you know, and he prayed to the Lord, you know, and he said, you know how I've walked before you with an upright heart and a perfect heart, and I've done that which is good in your sight. Remember, you know, the Lord says in the book of Isaiah 43, he told us in 26, he said, look, you know, plead your cause. Declare it again. Let us plead together, he said. Declare it, you know. And so forth, so that you know, may be justified. Say, put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thy mightest be justified. That's Isaiah 43 and 26. And so this man, he pleaded his cause with the Lord and said, I've walked righteously before you. And you said the righteous, you know, be primed to quote a lot of things, you know, and so on. He didn't want to die just yet. Cried unto the Lord. He didn't say the prophet said, I'm going to die, and so that's it. You know, what is your response? Somebody might have a negative dream and say, well, they saw that you're going to die or this thing. Or even a medical doctor might pronounce the sentence of death and say, you can't recover from this. You're going to die. Well, what's your response? What shall be your response? What should your response be? Well, this man's response was he turned to the Lord and he cried unto the Lord. And of course, the Lord reversed that situation right away. Right away, Lord reversed that situation. Added 15 more years to him. He had plenty of time to do a few more things, to get things in order and so forth. 15 years for the man that was going to die in a few days. And that was his response to that. What is your response? What's the next thing you're going to do? You know, and that's what really matters to God. Not what you did before, but what you're going to do now. You know, there's a story in the book of Jonah, chapter 3, verses 4 through about 10. The city of Nineveh, Jonah was sent by God to go and warn them. He didn't want to do it because those people were wicked, they ran away from God. And of course, you know the story with the whale and everything. Finally, God put him right there and he got to do it. And so he began to go, you know, across the city, began to go. He said, yet 40 days, the Lord is going to overturn this place for its wickedness. And, you know, he didn't even tell the people to repent. He was just telling them, pronouncing judgment upon them. And what was their response? Well, from the king to the least of them, they responded by the king commanding everybody, man and beast, woman, I don't care if you're pregnant. I don't care if you're giving suck. I don't care. Everybody in the land, no food. No drink for 3 days. Put ashes on your head and cry to the Lord. And that is some response. And that's how you do it. You know, and this man, he cried unto the Lord, commanded all these people. They cried before the Lord, you know, and he said, well, perhaps the Lord, you know, would turn him from the fierce anger. And the Lord did turn him from the fierce anger, you know, and saved that nation from that, you know, that great city from that destruction that the Lord brought up, was going to bring against them, because they trembled at the word of God. They trembled at the word of God. Now, what is your response when you hear the word of God? Do you tremble at it, whether it's a good word of promise like he gave us for this month, or it's a word of conviction from the Holy Spirit of something you've done wrong? What is your response? What's the next thing you're going to do? That's what God is looking for. You know, not the one you did yesterday, but what are you going to do now? You know, about it. You know, that's what God is looking for. Let me share a few more stories with us real quick. I want to actually close this thing out today. There are a few other stories. There was a story of this man in Luke chapter 15 that had two sons. You know, one of them was called the prodigal son. You know the story. There is a section of that story starting from about verse 17 to 24 of Luke chapter 15. This boy, young boy, he did unimaginable things. We're told he went down to Sin City, spent all his money in riotous living among harlots and different things and so forth. You know, wild parties, orgies and all, I don't know, all the things he got himself into. And finally, after he has squandered everything away, began to be in want. Tried everything, nobody gave him any food. Even they hired him to take care of some pigs, they wouldn't even let him eat what the food, pigs were eating. The best part of this story though, what was his response in that state of, I don't even know what to call that state that he was in. He brought that upon himself. You know, he had everything good in his father's house until he went and put himself into sin. You know, and all that evil came upon him. And that's a lesson that, look, riotous living will cause you to lose everything real fast. No matter how much money you had or thought you had, you go into riotous living, you lose everything. This boy lost everything. But his response, what was his response? Let's see what he said. So one day he came to himself. You know, his response in the face of all of that, you know, he wasn't going to run away from his dad anymore. He's going to run right back. He's going to go right back to his father. I said, look, I will arise. Because he said, look, in my father's house, his hired servants, they have food to eat. I'm out here dying. I will arise and go to my father. That was his response. And I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned for heaven and before thee. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me just like one of your hired servants and I will have food enough. And so he got up and went home. Glory to God. And what's your response? And I speak to anyone that's still in sin today. Perhaps you don't even know the Lord. Maybe in this room, maybe you're listening to this message, maybe somebody shared it to you. You know, what is your response when you're out there in the land of sin and God's calling you? What are you going to do? You're going to remain there or you're going to come back to the Lord? And you could even be a child of God that walked away from, you know, the spirit of truth, found yourself in the midst of darkness again. You know, even though God had brought you out of that, you found yourself back in there because you've done wrong. You've done wrong. What are you going to do today if you hear his voice? What are you going to do about it? Are you going to keep running away from God? Or are you going to come to the Lord? What is the next thing that you are going to do? What will be your response? Well, that's our lesson today. And so this man, young man, he came to the Lord. And of course, his father, the story represented the Lord. And the man said, don't even think about it. You are my son. And you will return home. And you will remain my son. A lot, you know, the man, he made a feast and everything. You know the story. But his response, this prodigal son, was, I will go back home. A lot of young people ran away from home and stuff like that. May the Lord grant them grace to come back to their own senses. You know, some of them have walked away from the place of truth and the place of light. And I've dabbled into things that they shouldn't dabble into. Now, we have a promise from God. I love to quote this promise, Jeremiah 31. You know, the Lord said they will come back. You know, verses 16 and 17, he, you know, gave this promise. Like, look, they're going to come back from the land of the enemy. They're going to come back to their own. And you can read that promise for yourself in Jeremiah 31 and verse 16. And you claim that promise. Now, for them, though, they must take the action to return. And you got to return. Praise God. You walk away from God, that's it. But you must come to God no matter how, where you find yourself and what, you know, caused you to be there. Be the devil, it could be the world, it could be evil, it could be your own fault or your own sins or your own mistakes or foolishness. What are you going to do next? Right now, today, what are you going to do next? You know, you can sit there and bemoan your losses, or you can do something about the situation. This young man, he did something. I'm going to get up. I'm going to go back to my father. I mean, the Lord grant people, you know, all these young people that are out in the world, let them come back home. There is hope in thy end, saith the Lord, that thy children shall come again from to their own border. From the land of the enemy, they shall come. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. What is your response, you know, to these things? There were two people among the disciples of Jesus that were called out, you know. I mean, they all deserted him, finally, actually. But two stories stand out. The story of Judas and the story of Peter. Judas, in Matthew chapter 27, the first five verses, you know, where after he betrayed Christ and saw that they gave him over to be killed, I mean, he actually regretted it. Because maybe he thought that, you know, somehow Christ would escape, you know. But he was chosen as a man and the son of perdition for that purpose. He didn't know it, but he was helping to fulfill Christ's destiny. He was a destiny helper, even though he did a wicked thing by betraying Christ into the hands of the, you know, the rulers and all those people, you know. But, yeah, he was still fulfilling, helping to fulfill Christ's destiny. When his realization came upon him that he's done a great evil, what did he do? You know, did he turn to the Lord for forgiveness? No, he decided to take his own life. The Bible says that he went and hanged himself. You can read that story, Matthew 27, verses 1 to 5. I actually went and tried to return the money. 30 pieces of silver. And the people say, well, what is that to you? It's blood money. We don't want it. It's on your own head. And when he heard that blood money is on your head, he went and hanged himself. Ladies and gentlemen, anyone that takes their life, they have no place of forgiveness. Because, you know, forgiveness comes, you know, from repentance of the evil. There's no way to repent after you killed yourself. And this man killed himself when it was the son of perdition anyway. His soul was lost forever. That was his response to the evil that he did. He decided to take his own life. Well, you know, people that take their lives today, they will end up the same way as this man. They end up in hell. There's no redemption if you take your life. You know. But what was the story of Peter? Peter did the same kind of thing. He also denied the Lord. In Luke chapter 22, verses 54 to 62, you can read the story of Peter there. He denied the Lord. The Lord already told him. Peter said, no, I'll never do it. You know, everybody else may, but I won't. The Lord said, well, you will. Before the cock crows two times, you would have denied me three times. Peter said, no way. Well, he did. And the third time, and then the cock crew, and then the Lord kind of just looked at him. The Lord didn't say anything, just looked at him. But what was Peter's response? See, when he found that he had fallen from the place of light, he had fallen from grace. Well, grace is always there to bring you back. You know, what was his response? His response was he turned to the Lord, cried bitterly and prayed for forgiveness. He wept bitterly, didn't go and kill himself. You know, and the Lord said, yeah. The Lord gave him a second chance too, later on. asked him, do you love me? Three times. And but he had poured out his heart in repentance against the Lord. Now, what was his response? How was his response different from, I mean, how was his sin different from Judas's sin? Same thing. One decided to kill himself. The other one cried unto the Lord. What is your response? Let me tell you one more story here. I looked at the time here. One more story real quickly here. There's a story of this man called Saul of Tarsus. You can read his, some of these stories in, Acts chapter 8, chapter 7, when they were killing Stephen. He was there. They laid their clothes beneath his feet. He was consenting to it. He was a man also that hated, the Christians. I mean, he was a devout, Jew, in Judaism and all of that. But he hated the way of, the Christians as followed Christ. And he went to the chief priest and got permission to go and haul them, got letters say, look, I'm going to go after them anywhere they are, bring them to justice. These people that are scattering our nation with this belief. And you know the story in Acts chapter 9. Breathing cruelty and everything. He got letters to chase down the saints, the believers, and bring them into prison and have them killed and all of that. This was what he was doing. This was what he was trying to do. And Jesus met him on the way to Damascus, we're told. As he came near to Damascus, suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. Acts chapter 9 and verse 3. And he fell down to the ground. And he heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Lord, who art thou? And the Lord said, oh, I am Jesus, whom you persecute, because what you're doing to these people, you're doing to me. It's hard for you to kick against these pricks. And so, at that time, he was trembling and said, Lord, what will you have me do? Now, what was Saul's response and what was the Lord's response? Because the Lord confronted him against what he was doing. I mean, about what he was doing. And he said, look, you can't do it. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. But then he had a choice. What was his response? And at that moment, it was no longer about he killing, consenting to Stephen being killed, getting letters to kill the saints, doing all these things. I mean, it was something he had to deal with for the rest of his life because the new believers, they never trusted him because he had done all those things. It was a thorn in his flesh. He never really trusted him. But at that moment, the response that Jesus was looking for was what you're going to do now. Hallelujah. Not what you did in the past, not what you are even doing or were doing until I caught up with you, but what are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? The man said, look, what will you have me do? And from that moment, his life changed because he had a response. He had a positive response to the call of God in his life. Now, when God calls you, what are you going to do? I mean, you can give all kinds of excuses, but what are you going to do now? Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 6 said, here I am, Lord, send me. Somebody else, like Jonah ran away from the presence of God. I mean, everybody has a different reaction to everything, call and so forth. But what the Lord cares about right now is what you're going to do about it. They brought a woman to Jesus, caught in the midst of adultery. You know the story, You find that story in John chapter 8. They were going to stone her to death. They asked Jesus, what should be done? Now, of course, Jesus never condemned the woman, but he gave her a choice. He said, woman, it's not about what you've done before. It's what you're going to do now. You have a choice now. You can go back to the life of sin, or you go and do it no more. You have a choice. What's your response right now? Praise God. And Jesus, he set the woman free. He said, now I don't condemn you, but go and do it no more. You have a choice. He met also a woman in John chapter 4 at the well. This woman lived all kinds of life, jumped from husband to husband, jumped into bed with people. In fact, she was shacking up with a man that was not her husband. Maybe someone else's husband or whomsoever. At the time that Jesus met her, Jesus said, what are you going to do now? Yeah, I know your story. I know you've had five husbands, and I know you are living with one now that is not even your husband. But what are you going to do about it now? See? But right now, this woman said, I have found a man who told me everything I did. This must be the Messiah. She turned her story around. And Jesus, you know, even though he brought out her story, didn't use that story to condemn her. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is our lesson today. There are many aspects of this, and I mingled it all together. In the face of conviction from the Holy Spirit, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to run to God or run away from God? Many times we saw the story of people that did evil in the Bible. Some of them ran to God, some ran away from God. Running away from God by Adam and Eve is why we are in this mess that we are in today. You know, this page just reminded me of a story. And I'm going to say that and then pray. In 1 Kings chapter 13, there was a story of the young prophet the Lord sent somewhere. They never told us his name to do something. Prophesy against the altar and so forth. And after he did it, the Lord told him that when you finish, don't go to any man's house. Don't do anything like that. Just come back the way you went. And so when he finished, the king tried to bring him to his house. He said, no, I'm not coming, no matter what you offer me. Then and the old prophet heard about him, asked his children, said, hey, you know, they told him about it. Said, where is he? They went and looked for him. Said, come to my house. Said, no, the Lord told me not to go. He said, well, the Lord also told me to bring you in. So, but he lied unto him. And then well, the man, knowing that this was a great prophet, or older prophet, bigger brother than he, let his guard down. You let your guard down sometimes around whom you think are people of God. And instead of staying with the word, he went home and disobeyed the word of the Lord, went home with the man. And the same man that deceived him brought judgment against him while they were sitting at meat. I read that story in 1 Kings 13. And he said, because you have disobeyed the word of the Lord, wherein he told you don't go to the left or right, don't eat anywhere and so forth. He said, well, you've disobeyed it. Now, therefore, your carcass will fall by the wayside. You will not even return home. But what did the man do? What was his response? Nothing. You know, he could have fallen down on his face and said, Lord, I have sinned. And cried out for mercy. And the Lord would have had mercy on him. But he didn't do it. He just took it like that. Well, the Lord said I would die. So I would die. You know, there are some people that didn't do that. Hezekiah didn't take it. This young prophet, he took it. And of course, the lion slew him. And the lion just stood right there. But the lion wasn't hungry. The beast was there that lion could have attacked for food. He didn't. The beast was there, his donkey. And the lion just stood next to him. You know, now that was a judgment from the Lord. You know, because his response was not one of repentance. He never repented. Ladies and gentlemen, what is your response? What are you going to do next? Now, what you do next is what matters most to God. Not what you did before. God didn't care what Moses did in Egypt. The murderer ran away. Didn't care that, you know, Paul was Saul of Tarsus, was killing everybody. Right now, right here. The Lord has a purpose for your life. What's it going to be? Not what you were, but what he wants from you now. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I am going to pray. What you do next, after hearing this message, is what God really cares about. What are you going to see in your future and around you? Like Moses, he was there on Mount Horeb in Exodus 3, the one that we talked about. I didn't really read it, but the story is there. What Moses saw was dirt and bush and rubbish on the ground. You know, but what God saw was holy ground. God's called the place. He said, this place is holy ground right now. Because I am right here. So ladies and gentlemen, what you think or what you thought was bush and rubbish in your life, when the presence of God comes in, it turns to holy ground. But what's going to be your response? Are you still going to consider yourself as bush and rubbish or holy ground? What's it going to be? When God tell you something, what you going to do? When the Lord gave you word of promise, what you going to do? Are you going to sanctify the word of promise, or are you going to be like people that say, we can't go there, there are giants in the land, we can't do it? Or are you going to say, yes, we can? When the Lord told you this month that it's going to be the beginning of months and the month of rest unto you, what are you going to be your response? When you get that negative letter, negative, you know, comment from the doctor's letters and so on, that you're going to die, you're not going to recover, what's going to be your response? When the Lord's calling you now, today, you're still thinking about what you did yesterday that was wrong. What you do next is what God really cares about. Now I'm going to pray and leave it there and let the Holy Spirit interpret it to you. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this word that we released. Let it drop like doctrine into the hearts of the people, like dew, the dew of heaven. Let it drop into their heart, that we may know what we ought to do. Like the sons of Issachar, the Bible said they understood the times and they knew what Israel ought to do. Well, do you know what you need to do when you hear the word of the Lord? What is going to be your response today? Whether the Lord has given you a word of promise and a word of encouragement, are you going to worship like Jehoshaphat? Are you going to believe the Lord? Whether you found yourself in a place of disgrace, well, are you going to stay there? Oh yeah, you're going to say, I will return and go unto my father, like the prodigal son did. What is your response? It is what you do next that God really cares about, not what you did before. The woman that was brought in the middle of adultery, it wasn't what she did before that was important to Jesus. It was what she's going to do next. What you're going to do now, I'm going to give you a choice. You can go back to the life of sin, or you can go and sin no more. What is it going to be? Father, I pray for everyone that's listened to this today. Let the Holy Spirit interpret this message into our situations, that we may make that choice today to say yes to the Lord. My soul says yes to you, Lord. Never mind yesterday. Get your hand off that rewind button, I tell people. You know, yesterday is gone. What are you going to do next? That's what God wants to hear from you. Father, I enable everybody that hears this message to understand this and to make the right choice and to say yes to the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.